Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode features some of the best films involving a confidence trick. I hope you enjoy the show. We all enjoy a film involving a good con, where the wool is pulled over somebody's eyes. I'm always rooting for the perpetrator and want he or she to get away with it. Anybody else like that? One of the earliest examples is Lady for a Day, made in 1933 by Frank Capra and starring Warren William, one of my favourites. It was based on a Damon Runyon story. The old lady who sells apples in New York, Apple Annie, has a daughter coming to visit her from Spain with her rich fiancé and his parents. The trouble is, Annie, the mother, has written letters leading the daughter to believe she's living in high society in New York. Warren William, a local gangster called the Dude, decides to help her out by setting up an elaborate scam to prop up what she'd written in her letters. It's very humorous, and William is at his best throughout. James Cagney and William Powell were also in line for the same part. Frank Capra decided to remake the film, and it was the last picture he made, called Pocketful of Miracles, in 1961.
Darling, and there I'd be with
in House of Games, directed and written by David Mamet in 1987, Joe Mantegna plays a career con man exquisitely. He regards what he does as an art form and takes delight in allowing an attractive psychiatrist played by Lindsay Krause to observe him at his work with a view to writing a book. But it all takes a turn for the worse. This is one of Mamet's best works, and he successfully manipulates his audience in the same way Mantegna does his victims. Federico Fellini gave us Il Bidone in 1955, in which a group of crooks dress up as priests and go around the Italian countryside conning local villages into reclaiming supposedly buried halls from robberies on their land for cash. It's shameful what they get up to. And Richard Basehart and Broderick Crawford are the villains, together with the great Franco Fabrizi. Unfortunately at the time, dubbing into Italian was the norm in Italian cinema, and so we miss out on both of their great voices. Nevertheless, the film is one of Fellini's best, comic and tragic at the same time. It's wonderful stuff. Fellini thought that nothing was more dramatic than the ordinary lives of people with the minimum of embellishment. ¶¶ I Was Monty's Double in 1958 gave us a con of a different kind. An infantryman is recruited to impersonate General Montgomery in order to mislead the Germans regarding the Normandy landings in World War II. The story behind this film is fascinating. Originally, British intelligence watched Billy Wilder's film Five Graves to Cairo in 1943 and got the idea to find somebody to impersonate Montgomery for real. David Niven was serving in the Army's film unit during the war and discovered the actor who looked so much like Montgomery. It was a case of a movie copying life, copying a movie. M.E. Clifton James was the actor who played himself and Monty in the film and in real life. It's thoroughly entertaining and is well worth the watch. Brian Forbes wrote a great screenplay and John Addison provided the music. One of the greatest cons was perpetrated in The Sting in 1973, in which Paul Newman and Robert Redford play two con men who want to put one over a big-time mob boss, played by Robert Shaw, in a card game. George Roy Hill directed, and he'd already had a big hit with the two actors in Butch Cassidy just before, so there was a lot riding on this film. Newman and Redford were both paid $500,000 each, which at the time was the largest salary ever paid to a movie actor. Fortunately, the film was a smash and picked up 7 Oscars, including Best Film, and 1 for Paul Newman. The two leads are just as good as in Butch Cassidy, and Robert Shaw and Charles Durning provide great backup. George Roy Hill became the first director to have directed 2 films grossing $100 million each. One of my favourite titles for a film is The Girl in the Car with the Glasses and a Gun, directed by Anatole Litvak in 1970 and starring Oliver Reed and Samantha Egger. This one is a more deadly kind of a con. Samantha Egger plays a secretary who takes her boss's car for a holiday in the south of France while he's away, but strange things start to happen. She's recognised by people she doesn't know and hears strange noises coming from the boot of the car. I was constantly curious about what would happen while watching this film. Stefan Oldran also stars with John McHenry. It's suspenseful and dark in just the right amount and was Anatole Litvak's final film.
Un coup de vent du nord et la vie m'envole comme feuille morte. Feu rouge tourne au vert et la vie m'enflamme, le diable m'emporte. Chacun suit sa route ou son chemin. Moi, je ne suis que pierre et je roule. Pour un lever de lune, un coup de soleil, je vois son lunette. Une ligne jaune, un horizon bleu, je pense pis en tête. Chacun suit sa route ou son chemin. Moi, je ne suis que pierre et je roule. Chaque croisement est comme un port, on peut jeter l'ancre ou sombrer. Chaque virage peut vous cacher aussi mal l'amour que la mort. Mais un coup de vent du sud et la vie m'emporte comme feuille morte. Un feu vert tout rouge, le diable m'appelle et l'enfer m'emporte. Chacun suit sa route ou son destin. Je ne suis que pierre et je roule, oui, je roule, je roule, moi, je roule.
The same year, 1970, Peter Hall, acclaimed theatre director, gave us Perfect Friday, in which Stanley Baker plays a mild-mannered deputy bank manager who hatches a brilliant con to rob his own bank. He enlists the services of Ursula Andress and her wastrel husband, played deliciously by David Warner, and the result is very entertaining. It's surprising to know Peter Hall only directed 7 movies, and this film remains so unknown.
Yeah.
David Fincher directed The Game in 1997, starring Michael Douglas as an introverted, mega-rich money investment banker who lives alone in a large empty house in San Francisco. His brother, played by Sean Penn, gives him a birthday present of an invitation to take part in a highly personalised game. He's curious and decides to take part. It's an ingenious plot and keeps you guessing all the way till the end. Deborah Kara Unger also stars. Fincher is at the top of his game in this, and the fabulous Palace Hotel in San Francisco is used to very good effect near the end. Douglas is on fine form throughout. John Garfield starred in Nobody Lives Forever, directed by Jean Negulesco in 1946, which is a great film noir in which Garfield plays an ex-GI recruited into a con to fleece a rich widow, played by Geraldine Fitzgerald. Unfortunately, he finds himself falling for her and doesn't want to go through with it, but his accomplices have other ideas. It's taken from a novel by W.R. Burnett. The novel was written 5 years earlier with Humphrey Bogart in mind to play the lead, but Bogart turned it down. Never mind, Garfield is terrific, as is Fitzgerald, and the accomplices are also great. W.R. Burnett also wrote Scarface, Little Caesar, High Sierra and Asphalt Jungle, all classic film noirs. So he knew what he was doing, and it shows.
Oh, give me land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in.
Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in.
Lots of land under starry skies. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose, let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies.
On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise.
Ba 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 ba. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences, and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in, no.
Papa, don't you fence me in.
Ben Hecht was one of the most celebrated screenwriters of all time. He actually won a writing Oscar in the first ceremony in 1927. So it's a surprise to find that he actually directed a few films too, including one called Angels Over Broadway in 1940. It stars Douglas Fairbanks Jr. as a con man who sees an opportunity for profit when he meets a cuckolded husband on the verge of suicide. Thomas Mitchell plays a drunk playwright who wants to help, and a young Rita Hayworth is also eager to help. They plan to fleece a big-time crook in a card game. It's interesting to see how Rita Hayworth began her career, and Fairbanks and Mitchell are always worth watching. It's a bit overwritten by Hecht, of course, but a standout curiosity nevertheless.
Sur cette terre, ma seule joie, mon seul bonheur, c'est mon homme. J'ai donné tout ce que j'ai, mon amour et tout mon cœur à mon homme. Même la nuit, quand je rêve, c'est de lui, de mon homme. Ce n'est pas qu'il est beau, qu'il est riche, ni costaud, mais je l'aime. Cet idiot, il me fout des coups, il me prend mes sous. Je suis à bout, mais malgré tout, que voulez-vous? Je l'ai tellement dans la peau que j'en deviens un marteau. Dès qu'il s'approche, c'est fini. Je suis à lui. Quand ses yeux sur moi se posent, ça me rend toute chose. Je l'ai tellement dans la peau qu'au moindre mot, il me ferait faire n'importe quoi. Je tuerais ma foi. Je sens qu'il me rendrait infâme, mais je ne suis qu'une femme. Et je l'ai tellement dans la peau quitter. C'est fou ce que m'ont offert d'autres hommes. Entre nous, voyez-vous, ils ne valent pas très cher tous les hommes. La femme, à vrai dire, n'est faite que pour souffrir par les hommes. Dans les bals, j'ai couru afin de l'oublier. J'ai bu, rien à faire. J'ai pas pu. Quand il me dit « Viens », je suis comme un chien. Y'a pas moyen, c'est comme un lien qui me retient. Je l'ai tellement dans la peau, j'en suis dingo, que celle qui n'a pas aussi connu ceci ose venir la première me jeter la pierre. En avoir un dans la peau, c'est le pire des maux, mais c'est connaître l'amour sous son vrai jour. Et je dis qu'il faut qu'on pardonne quand une femme se donne à l'homme qu'elle a dans la peau.
The last film I'd like to mention is Stephen Frears' The Grifters from 1990. It's an adaptation of a Jim Thompson novel from the 1940s, set in modern times, so a sort of modern film noir. John Cusack is a small-time con artist who has a mum, played exquisitely by Angelica Houston. She works for a big-time bookkeeper and travels round the country changing the odds on horses by placing bets at the tracks. Cusack's girlfriend, played by Annette Bening, is also on the make, looking for a new partner so she can go back to big-time cons like a few years earlier. The film traces the relationship between the three of them, and it's quite engrossing to watch it develop. A jealousy builds up between the mum and the girlfriend, which has fatal consequences. Although Houston stands out, Cusack and Bening do well. They both accepted very low fees to appear in the film. Charles Napier has a small role, as well as J.T. Walsh and Pat Hingle. Martin Scorsese was lined up to direct, but he decided to stay as a producer. Elmer Bernstein's score is part humorous, part quirky, and mirrors the mood of the film very well. That's it for this time. I hope you get to enjoy some of these great films at some stage. Thank you.
Thank you.